16, that, as we usually see, is usually mentioning specific people, commending them, sometimes not commending them. But interestingly enough, for the book of Romans, Paul chose to finish the book with a dispensational passage, which is quite interesting. So notice verse 25, "Unto him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." So the mystery which was kept secret, that's our title. Lord, bless your word tonight to our hearts. Teach us and guide us in your truth. And Lord, we are grateful for all that you've done in our hearts through this book and this past year and a half. We praise you for it. We praise you for your word. Ask that tonight our hearts would be open to your word and we would grow in it, and that Jesus would be lifted up, in whose name we pray. Amen. So, of course, Paul's desire of all the churches he planted was that the people would be established or grounded in the Word of God. And that's what he says there, "Unto him that has power to establish you." It's only God that can establish us. Establish would be the modern of that same word. But God is the one that grounds us as we study his word. And tonight's passage is about rightly dividing the word, isn't it? Notice he says in verse 25, "according to my gospel." So Paul isn't being prideful or presumptuous. The reason he calls it my gospel is because it was through Paul that the gospel that we preach was introduced. I've had people try to say, "Oh, there's only been one gospel." I don't know how they could say such a thing, but there's been many gospels. There's obviously, even in the New Testament, there was the gospel of the kingdom introduced in Matthew, which was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." We don't preach that, do we? No, we preach, get saved. Amen. We preach that Jesus died and was buried and rose again the third day. And many times Paul refers to the gospel that we preach as his gospel. And that is because it was through him, the apostle to the Gentiles, that this gospel that we see was introduced. The gospel, if you go to Acts 20:24, referred to as the gospel of the grace of God. And as many of you know, we are in the age of grace. Bible tells us that Jesus brought this age in John chapter 1. But notice Acts 20:24, "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." That is the gospel that you and I preach in the church age, the gospel of the grace of God. "For by grace are you saved," amen, "through faith and not of yourselves." So we find ourselves in the sixth dispensation. And tonight's not a dispensations class, but just a reminder that the Bible is definitely divided up into dispensations. And God has always been the same, but in different times or dispensations, God has dealt with man differently, had different rules and so forth. So we obviously have the first dispensation, which was in the garden prior to the fall, called, many call it innocence. Then we have the dispensation many refer to as conscience, which basically goes from the fall to the flood, where man didn't have the word. All he had was what had been passed down and his own conscience to guide him. Then we have, after the flood, a few laws from God, not many. He had some laws about murder, about multiplying and replenishing the earth. And most people refer to that as human government. That is when God told them to go and replenish the earth and start over, because there were only the eight people to start with from the ark. And so there's innocence, conscience, and human government. Then, most people refer to the next dispensation from Abraham as the dispensation of promise. Everything changed with Abraham, didn't it? God said, I'm going to start something new. I'm going to create a new nation. And I'm going to bless those who bless you. And I'm going to curse those who curse you. And most people refer to that as the age of promise, that God had made many beautiful, some unconditional promises to the nation of Israel through Abraham. Then, of course, the obvious one is the law. And that began on Mount Sinai. God wrote the law, gave it to Moses, not just the Ten Commandments, but basically everything in, you know, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy was all in there. And that lasted until Calvary. The exact beginning of this dispensation is under much disputation. I personally believe it started on the day of Pentecost. There are those who say, no, it started earlier. There are those who say it started later. Honestly, it doesn't matter, because it was 2,000 years ago, so we are in it either way. We are in the age of grace. Next to come is what we'll call 5B. So it's not a new dispensation. It is an extension of the fifth dispensation, which was law. Why is that? Because it is Jewish. It is the 70th week of Daniel. Remember, Daniel prophesied about the 70 weeks for Israel. And so it is not a new dispensation. It is a continuation of five, because we have what we're in now, which is this parenthetical mystery dispensation called grace. And then, of course, the end of tribulation brings in the seventh. God is the God of sevens, which is the kingdom, the millennial kingdom. After that, he starts over, right? Burns up the earth, burns up the heavens, makes a new heaven, new earth, and we don't know what happens after that. We don't care. We're going to be there. We're going to be with Jesus. We get to enjoy it. That's what matters. So, little mini dispensations class there. But Paul said, my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according, verse 25, to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. So Paul makes it very clear that this dispensation, this age in which we find ourselves, the church age, was unknown to the Old Testament prophets. Now, they saw Calvary. They saw the birth of Jesus Christ. They and his death. They saw his resurrection. But they didn't see the church. What did they see after the resurrection? They saw the tribulation period. Some of them saw the Antichrist, Daniel especially. But they didn't see what we find ourselves in now. We know this to be a fact because Paul just told us. It was a secret. God kept it a secret until he revealed it through the Apostle Paul. And this mystery, if you go to Colossians 1:26, was revealed through Paul. So Paul was not only chosen to be the apostle to the Gentiles, he was also chosen to be the one to reveal a unknown mystery dispensation to the world called the church. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26, even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. And then let's go to Ephesians 3, probably the best passage on this. By the way, God even uses the word dispensation of the Bible. Imagine that. Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. So we're not making this up, are we? Here he names the dispensation that we find ourselves in. It's the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. So Paul says, God made it known to me. Then the parenthetical statement, look at the next verse, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. That's clear, that it was a mystery. The Old Testament prophets did not see it, but it's now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And then at the end of this, down in verse 8 and 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid. It's pretty clear. It was a secret, it was hid, it was not made known, it was a mystery, and it was revealed to the world through the Apostle Paul that we should all be one body. It's a beautiful thing that we're all one body, isn't it? For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, 1 Corinthians 12:13. It's a shame the Baptist writers miss out on all that beauty because they see that verse as water baptism and the water's the door to the church and blah, blah, blah. They can't back it up with any scripture, but they certainly harp on it. But no, that's the mystery, that there's this new thing called the church or the body of Christ or the bride of Christ. It has a lot of names. And God started creating it. Most believe on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down and began at that point, never before, to indwell permanently. Jesus even said to the disciples, the Holy Spirit is with you and shall be in you. He said it hasn't happened yet. And he said, and you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So Christ even said to his apostles, you guys don't have the permanent indwelling yet. But you and I do, because we're in this new age. So he says, verse 26, but now is made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the command of the everlasting God, made known to all nations. What was Jesus' command to the 500? Go. Go and tell people. What? The gospel. And then, of course, Paul defines the gospel for us in 1 Corinthians 15. Christ died for our sins, and he was buried, and then he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That Jesus died and paid for our sins. That we are sinners, we deserve hell. God in the flesh paid for our sins, rose again, offers us eternal life. And that's what we share. Very interesting, if you go to Colossians 1 again, this is according to the scriptures, and most people don't believe or understand this statement, but according to the scriptures, before Paul died, the apostles had carried out what Jesus told them to carry out. Look at it, Colossians 1:6, which is come unto you as it is in all the world. Now, we've all heard people say, oh, these poor nations that never got to hear and have never heard. Not according to the Bible. Now, this was a long time ago. It was 2,000 years ago almost. But according to the scriptures, look at verse 23 as well in this same chapter. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. So before Paul died, when he wrote the book of Colossians, by then, according to Paul, according to God through Paul, the gospel had made it around the world. Now, most people don't believe that. They think, oh, China never heard, and all these other Asian places never got to hear. You know, you can go to India, and the Indian people believe that Thomas went there. They have this whole big thing celebrating that Thomas came and brought the gospel to India, doubting Thomas. And whether that's true or not is irrelevant. But what Paul is saying, it's now made manifest. And it was a secret, it was a mystery, God revealed it through me. That we would be, as we saw in Ephesians 3, one body. That Gentiles and Jews would be one body in Christ. That we would be saved by grace through faith. The age of grace, the dispensation of grace. And then I love Paul's finish, verse 27, to God only wise. Isn't that good? God only wise. True wisdom comes from God, from God's Word be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So this mystery which was kept secret, Paul reveals it again. He revealed it when we looked through Ephesians. He revealed it in Colossians, that it was a mystery to the Old Testament prophets. Not one of them was even given a glimpse. A lot of people say, why? Well, I believe it was God's way of making the offer of the kingdom genuine. What do I mean by that? Well, when Jesus came and started preaching, and John the Baptist as well, the first thing they preached was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when you study the scriptures, the kingdom of heaven is referring to the millennial kingdom that God promised Israel. It's not the kingdom of God which would become part of it, salvation. It's the literal, physical, millennial kingdom. Well, Jesus wouldn't have made an offer unless it was genuine. Amen? He wouldn't have said, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but not really. So it was at hand, and it was available. All they had to do was repent, which is the one thing that they did not want to do, right, was repent. That angered them more than anything, was that Jesus told the Jews, it doesn't matter if you're Jews, you're going to hell. You got to be saved. You have to trust me as the only one that can save you. So that offer was genuine in the sense that, and of course, God in his foreknowledge knew how it would go. But at the same time, if the church had been prophesied of in the Old Testament that it would happen after the Calvary, then how could the kingdom offer be genuine? You see how that works? And that's why God kept it a mystery. God knew it was going to happen because God knows the future. But he still, when he offered Israel the kingdom, if they would have repented and said, yes, you are the Messiah. Yes, we are sinners. Yes, we need you as our Savior. Then Jesus would have given them what they had been waiting for centuries, their kingdom. But they rejected him, which is good for us, because we wouldn't be here. And he died on the cross for our sins. Amen? So that, I believe, is why God kept it a mystery, so that the offer of the kingdom to Israel was genuine. And, of course, once it was rejected and Christ went to Calvary and died for our sins and rose again, he brought in something new that he prophesied of, obviously, in the Gospels, that the Holy Ghost would indwell people permanently. And he called it the baptism of the Holy Ghost, something that man had never experienced, had never been available to man. And now it's available to us. Hallelujah. So the mystery which was kept secret. How beautiful is that? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word and this teaching passage on the age of grace, the gospel of grace. And I pray, Lord, that we would continue to share the gospel of grace with folks so they can be born again by grace as well. And how we thank you for your grace every day, the grace that you give us to live for you. And Lord, I pray that as we dive into 1 Thessalonians next week, that it would truly be a blessing to our hearts as well. And bless our time this evening as we go to prayer.